Both these texts deal with violence. This disgraceful story. Why is it here? Would the Bible be different if it weren't? I mean, what did we learn out of this reading? Bunch of bloodthirsty crooks in Israel. I mean, did you learn anything else? What's the point of this? Why is it in the Bible? Why does the church want us to read it? First, so that we'll look at the violence in our own heart. Ahab, you know, was not a forceful fellow, but Jezebel was. To this day, when you're working, you know, when there are spirits around and they're causing division, one of the possibilities is that it's a Jezebel spirit. It's called that because of the force of division. And so Naboth, following the law and the customs of his people, won't alienate land that belongs to his family. But that's no obstacle to Jezebel. Just kill him. And look at the disgraceful way he's killed. She writes a letter, and all the people, the rulers in that town, they all just kowtow to her and kill a man. Kill somebody. We're not supposed to hold that up for an example, but I think it's to look at our own hearts. Violence never solves anything. And that's what John Paul II calls the culture of death. Solution to a problem is death. I keep thinking whenever I say that, there were these two grammar school boys down in Washington, and they got in a fight over a pair of basketball shoes, and one took out a gun and shot the other to death. They were about 12 or 14 years old. Death is not a solution. And so, if you just look at yourself, where does it end? Jezebel gets this all done. She writes this letter. They just do whatever she tells her to. They tell her. She tells them to. And just kill a man. Falsely. What is going on? And so, you say, well, those were rough days. They're not any better. They're not any better. And so it's a call to look at the violence in our own heart. We wouldn't go killing anybody, but we can kill them in our heart. In the gospel, we have discussion of more violence. You heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That is a moderating law. If he knocks out one of your eyes, you can knock out one of his, but not two. If he knocks out one of your teeth, you can knock out one of his, but not two. It's a law of limiting violence. You can take retribution, but only to the measure in which you were offended. That's not a great commentary on the human heart, is it? No. Okay. So then our Lord says, you see, offer no resistance to evil, probably meaning one who is evil as our translation. Somebody strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other to him as well. Now what's going on here? I am concentrated on the other, not me. If I'm offended, I will offer no resistance in the hope of winning that one over. I'm not going to start the cycle of violence. If someone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Now these are dispositions of heart, remember. At our Lord's trial, he was struck on the cheek And he said, why did you strike me? That was the better answer in that. But he was prepared to give it. He's on his way for crucifixion, and he knows it. So he's quite prepared to turn the other cheek, but that's not the right thing to do there. Is to confront that man with his evil and see if he'll change. Is that the way to talk to the high priest? Yes, because he's sinning. Now, what's the challenge? I am such an egomaniac, I cannot possibly think of the option of being offended and not doing anything. I mean, it wouldn't occur to me. Shoot them if I want the basketball shoes, you know, or beat them up or do whatever. In other words, the Holy Spirit had this written for us to say, look, people are going out and walk in this rain, I hope it stops, today. They're not going there and beat up those women before so they don't have abortions. They're going to try to win them over. Pray for them, talk to them, so that they don't do violence. So you see, it's not an easy lesson. You cannot know what to do in the face of violence unless you're willing to submit to it if you have to. You may not have to. You may not be what the Lord wants. But what does that do? It takes the center of my attention out of me and puts it there. There's an old, you know, in Zen Buddhism, you know, there are these koans, you know, these dilemmas. And they're all there to try to show you that your point of view is not always right. You know, trying to think of these. Well, one of them is, you know, this is the sound of two hands clapping. What's the sound of one hand? It's to make you think differently. There is no sound of one hand. I can, you know, but you see, there's another one, in which again you're concentrated on the other person, and. You're not concentrated on yourself. It slipped my mind for the moment, but it'll come back. The point is that this is the Son of God showing us. Ah, yes. The other one is, see my finger moving? Is it going or coming? It all depends on your perspective. That's supposed to show us everything depends on my perspective. I am at the center of the universe. Everybody knows that. So if my finger's going this way, it's going. You think it's coming, but that's because you're an egomaniac. I'm not advertising, you know, that we get into Zen Buddhism, but it is interesting to see the same sort of a thing said in an Oriental way. But be ready to put up with evil, if that's what the Lord wants. Bob Barron had a nice line on that. If I do turn the other cheek and that man sees that, he could really be changed. Look how violent I am. This man doesn't offer resistance, and I go hit him again. Look how violent I am. And if he does that, I've won him over. How do we get like that? Practice. Practice, that's all. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And you'll know. You'll know. Probably won't get it right for a long time. But there's such other-centeredness in this instruction from our Lord, right? Somebody wants to press you into service for a mile, that's 1,000 paces, milia. It's the Roman law. The Romans are the occupation forces here. The occupation forces. And that means the army has the right to get a hold of anybody and make them carry a burden for a mile. That's because of the occupation forces. Our Lord says, if they grab you and make you go a mile, go another one. Because there's something bigger than me at the center of the universe. Well, how do I know which one to do? If I'm not prepared for this extreme, I'll never know what to do because I'll always do the same thing. I'll return violence for violence. And then the last one, which is also other-centered, but so different, right? Give to the one who asks of you. And do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow. This is the same guy who came up yesterday. You know? I tried to find a solution for that one. Like when I lived in Rome, or when I've been in India, and places where I lived in Rome, was not long after the war, and there was a lot of poverty. Ah. So I had a whole great big pocket full of small change. So I could give everybody something. And in doing that, could meet them eye to eye. And sometimes I would say, pray for me. I don't have a lot of money. In fact, the money I had in my pocket came from the Abbot General who gave it to me. I mean, I didn't have any money. Monks don't have money. But I had this money, and I'd give it away so that there could be some human contact between me and that person. And it's not a total solution, but what I'm trying to say is we carry Christ, and we can never forget that.